Good to see everybody again Wednesday night. We're continuing on in our study on the life of Abraham. And if you would turn to Genesis 12, we'll pick it up there. Genesis chapter 12. Last time we covered the first three verses of chapter 12. And tonight we're going to go from verses 4 through the end of the chapter. And what I'd like to do is start reading at verse 4 through verse 9 to start off with. Genesis 12, 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And we'll stop right there just for the time being. We see in the first three verses of Genesis 12 that God had made some incredible and wonderful promises to Abram. In those first three verses, we discussed that last time. And, of course, we discussed that Abram's obedience to the call of God. And in verse 4, we see that Abram did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. He left his home in Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and he departed and left Haran. We see in verse 4 that Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Interesting to note that he had 100 more years to go to live. As we looked at it last time, we found out that Abraham is going to live 175 years. Yeah, a long lifespan, no doubt. But they went forth, Abraham and his family, they left. And we see in verse 6 that he passed through the region of Shechem, and in verse 6 it said that the Canaanite was in the land. And we have to keep in mind something that many people in the world don't understand. That this land did belong to the Canaanites. It belonged to Abraham and his descendants. The reason that it belongs to Abraham and his descendants is because God promised that land to Abram. He didn't make the promise to the Canaanites. People who are critics of the Bible will say, well, you know, the Canaanites were there first. You know, this is their land. Well, no, it's not. You know, God didn't make that promise to the Canaanites. He made it to Abram and his descendants. It's their land. It belongs to them because God himself gave it to them and his descendants. And we see in verse 7, we see an interesting thing in verse 7. It's not a whole lot of details involved in it, in there, in that verse. It says at the beginning of verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. And that's all it says. And I was curious about that, and I believe that this is many Bible commentators, and I agree with them, say that this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ to Abram. And we're not told the circumstances of this appearance. There are few details available to us in the scriptures in verse 7. There's no description of the Lord. Did he appear as a human being? Does he appear as he appeared to John as a bright shining light? Well, we don't know because the scriptures don't tell us. But in verse 7, the Lord restated his promise to Abram and that his descendants will have this land. It will be their land. And, you know, the Lord was telling Abraham or reiterating this promise, and I believe that the promise became real to Abram because he was in the land at that time. He was in the land of Canaan. He saw it. He was walking through it. And when he recalled God's promises in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, I believe the promise was made real to his heart. And it says at the end of verse 7 that he built an altar to the Lord there. And we see that Abram was a worshiper of the one true God. Not the Canaanite gods, not the gods of the surrounding nations, but the only one true God, that is the Lord God. That's the one that Abraham worshiped. And it says at the end of verse 8, he called upon the name, he built another altar there when he came to Bethel and Ai. He built another altar, and it says at the end of verse 8, he called upon the name of the Lord. And you know, I believe that the Lord's appearance in verse 7 had made an impression upon Abraham's heart. And he believed that, you know, this promise that God was making me, this is not a pie-in-the-sky fantasy. This is a real covenant and a real promise that God will fulfill in Abraham's life. He believed that. He accepted that by faith. Now we turn that now to verses 10 through 20, and I'll start reading at verse 10. Now, well, before I do that, let me make some comments before we read verses 10 through 20. Verses 10 through 20 do deal with Abraham's disobedience, his failure to obey God. He did a lot of things he shouldn't have done. And I think that you and I need to take a look at these verses, and I believe that we can see some of ourselves in these verses. And I'll start reading at verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair or a beautiful woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princess also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. And the Lord plagued the Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. We see, first of all, in verse 10, that there was a famine. It wasn't just a normal, everyday famine. It was a very severe, crippling famine in verse 10. It says the famine was grievous in the land. It was a serious thing. Now, in a famine, as you probably already know, there's not enough food to eat. You got all these people, and they don't have enough food. Many times, famines are caused by a lack of rain. The crops don't grow. You can't get any crops to eat, to use for food. You can't use any of the crops to feed your livestock. They die. So we see that the people in the land of Canaan were suffering because of a lack of food. And we see that Abram made a decision. He made a decision in verse 10. He went down into the land of Egypt. We might ask ourselves, did Abram make the right decision? Well, we're going to find out. No, he didn't. And another thing, in verse 10, was this famine an accident? Was it a coincidence? that this famine just happened to happen at this time in the land of Canaan, just happened to be Sarah, Abram and Sarah was just happened to be there when it happened that the famine just happened. Well, no, this is a sovereign act of God that he was working in Abraham's life and in Sarah's life. And we see in verse 10 that Abraham made the decision. Let me ask you a question. Could Abraham have stayed in the land of Canaan and had faith and dependence upon the Lord? And would the Lord have provided for Abram and his family? Absolutely. Could Abram have stayed there and in faith, Lord, I don't have enough food to feed my family and the people that work for me. You know, I've got to depend upon you. Could Abram have done that? Yes, he could have. Abram used something that we always use sometimes when the going gets tough. We rely on human reason. I've done that. You've done that. Abram did that. He relied on human reason. It sounded reasonable that there was no food in the land of Canaan. So, you know, I'm going to move my family down to Egypt because they got a lot of food down there and I'll be able to feed my family. You know, that's reasonable. It's almost logical. But see, brothers and sisters in Christ, when we do that, we take God out of the picture and we don't depend on him, you see. That's what Abram needed to do. He needed to go into, stay in the land of Canaan, and the Lord would have provided for him. And I've been there. You know, I've done stuff like this before. I know you have too. We learn from these things. We learn that God will always provide for his children. Always. So Abram, in verse 11, he was almost in the land of Egypt, and he told Sarah, his wife, you know, I know that you are a very fair woman, a beautiful woman to look at, and Sarah must have been a stunning, beautiful woman for him to say this in verse 11. And when he said in verse 12, Abram said in verse 12, since you were very beautiful, you know, the Egyptians are going to take you away from me, and they're liable, and they're going to see you as my wife, and they're going to take you away from me, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to take you to live with Pharaoh. But you see in verse 12 that Abram is planning and plotting and scheming. He's doing all these things in order to protect himself and to protect Sarah. And again, we see that Abram is relying upon that old trick of human reason. Human reason can be tricky. You know, you have to be careful. We must always put our dependence upon God first, human reason second, if human reason comes into the picture at all. So we see here in verse 12 that Sarah, or he was asking Sarah to explain the situation to her in verse 12. And in verse 13, he asked Sarah to do something. Tell the Egyptians, when they see you and see how beautiful you are, tell them that you're my sister. And which is a half-truth, I think. Sarah was Abram's half. That's a half-truth because Sarah was half-sister to Abraham in the relations there. But, you know, I thought it was interesting here. Here is a man, and Abram was a man of great faith. You know, he believed God's promises. He had uprooted his family. He left his country, and he was traveling into an unknown land, and he did it completely and totally by faith. And here he was, not exercising any faith at all in God. And Abram was going to lie and deceive the Egyptians. And we may wonder in our old minds, well, you know, what's going on with Abraham? I thought he was supposed to be a man of great faith. Well, you know, I remember telling you when we first started this study the last time, that Abram is a lot like us. He's brother, sister, Christ. He is just like us. He's just like you. He's just like me. He has that old sin nature, just like you and I have. He has that old that desire to depend upon himself and not upon God. You know, that's what Abram was doing. And we see in verse 14 as we go along, it came to pass, when Abram was coming to Egypt, that the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. You know, Sarah's beauty was noticed by the Egyptians. I tell you what, you know, Sarah, she must have been using that, what's that, Max Factor makeup or something like that. She had her hair fixed up just right, eyeshadow on her eyelashes or whatever. I'm kidding. And it sounds like I'm making fun of women, but I guess I am. But I'm kidding about that when I say that. But you know, it's interesting to note here that Sarah was no ordinary run-of-the-mill woman. When you looked at her, you could see her beauty, her physical beauty. The Egyptians noticed that. And Pharaoh's men in verse 15, they told Pharaoh, he said, listen, you know, there's a foreigner, a foreign group, a family in our land who's come from the land of Canaan. And I tell you what, this woman is beautiful. You ought to come see her. In verse 15. And it says there in verse 15 that Pharaoh's men came and took Sarah. They kidnapped Sarah is basically what they did. And took her back to Pharaoh's, took her back to live with the Pharaoh. And in verse 16, we see that that Pharaoh, in verse 16, treated Abram well for Sarah's sake. You know, he got a whole lot of livestock from Pharaoh as a result of this. And I think Pharaoh was trying to pay back Abram for taking Sarah away from him. I can imagine, scriptures don't say this. We don't see it written. But, you know, I can imagine how heartsick Abram must have been at seeing his wonderful, beautiful wife, whom he loved dearly, taken away from him against his will. And, you know, Abram couldn't hatch another scheme. He couldn't tell another lie. He couldn't engage in another deception. There was absolutely nothing, and I mean nothing, that Abram could do in a situation like this to get Sarah back. Nothing. He couldn't do anything. He was totally and completely helpless. And we may ask ourselves, well, where's the Lord at in all this? Doesn't he understand what's going on? Doesn't he see all this stuff? And you know, what about God? Well, let's look at verse 17. He'll explain it to us. Verse 17 says, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. We see here in verse 17 how faithful God was to Abram. Abram was certainly unfaithful to God, but God was still faithful to Abram. And he plagued Pharaoh's house. That is his family. We're not told what those plagues were. It could have been some sort of physical ailment, possibly. But we see here God's faithfulness to Abram. You know, God had promised Abram that he made some incredible promises to Abram. He said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I'm going to use you to bring untold countable numbers of people into this world to inherit this land that I'm giving to you. This is a promise. You know, God was not through fulfilling his promise to Abram. He was not going to let Abraham die without his promises being fulfilled in his life. God is faithful. But I think, you know, we see something else going on here. And we talk about God's faithfulness. And it's revealed in scriptures many, many times, over and over again. We see God's faithfulness. We see God's faithfulness in our own lives, don't we? Every day. And you know, this is part of God's divine attributes. This is part of God's character, that he is always, always, always faithful 100% of the time, all the time, to his children. That's us. That's us. We may fail God. We may disobey him. We may sin against him. We may be unfaithful to him. But he is always faithful to us. Aren't you glad, brother, sister in Christ? That's true. That's the kind of God we have. And God was being faithful to Abram here. And he wasn't going to let Abram get away Well, he's not going to let the Egyptians get away with hurting, harming, or killing Abram. So we see in verse 18, Pharaoh got Abram, and he said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why dost thou not tell me that she was thy wife?" Well, we see here that Pharaoh figured out what was going on. Possibly Sarah told him that, I'm not really Abram's sister, I'm his wife. She could have done that. But we see that Pharaoh found out that Sarah was Abram's wife. And in verse 19, Pharaoh told Abram, "Listen, I got all these plagues going on in my family, and we're suffering. Why don't you take Sarah, take your family, take your servants, take all that livestock I gave you, and get out of my country." And Abram did. Verse 20, it says, "And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. They sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. Abram left Egypt." I imagine that he was glad to be out of that place. And, we hope that Abram learned a lesson from this. But we see that he didn't later on. But there's some conclusions that we can draw from that. I came up with three. There could be more conclusions, Number one is the faithfulness of God that I just talked about. When we fail, God is always faithful to us, even in our failures. The second conclusion we can draw is how God deals with our disobedience. Moses was a great man of God, yet he disobeyed God. He had to pay the consequences of his disobedience. He didn't get to see the promised land. He didn't get to walk in the promised land. He died before the Israelites could get there. You recall David, a man after God's own heart, committed the sin of adultery. He was restored to God by the mercy and grace of God. But David had to deal with the consequences of his sin. And we go into the New Testament, and we look at Peter, and we see Peter had denied the Lord three times. And he thought, my life, my service for the Lord Jesus is over. I might as well go back fishing. But the Lord restored Peter beautifully and wonderfully and used him mightily in the book of Acts in the early church. All these great men of God were restored to the Lord. God continued to use them. Brother, sister in Christ, if we fail God, if we're disobedient to God, God is not through with us. Do you realize that? I heard somebody, a preacher on the radio, say some time ago that if a pastor sins, like commits adultery, that's it for him. God can't use him anymore. I heard that and I said, what in the world is he talking about? What about Peter? What kind of sin do you have to sin against God that he wouldn't use you anymore? But you see that God is always faithful to us. We may disobey him, we may fail him, we may let him down, but God never fails us, brother, sister in Christ. Never, never. And another thing I think we see in this passage is the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. The Lord was in control of Abraham's situation. There was no detail escaped his attention. He knew everything that was going to happen before it happened. God was supervising providentially all the events of Abram's life. The Lord knew what was going on in Abram's life all the time. The Lord knows exactly what's going on in your life, in my life. He knows every single detail about us and our life, our hearts, our minds, how we think, what motivates us. Why do we say the things we do? Why do we do the things we do? God knows all that. He knows everything. And there's something that we always can rely on about God, about the Lord. And even the times that we're suffering, even the times that are grievous, even the times that are painful, even the times that hurt, God is there. He's there with us. Through all these things, He's a faithful God. He is a God who is faithful to Abraham. And He is a God who is faithful to us. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we'll pick it up next time in chapter 13.